Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Live from the corner of Broadway and Battery, this is the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. Now, Damon Bruce.
There you go, Golden State Warriors. There you go, looking like yourselves again. Playing some serious basketball, looking good. I mean, forget that they won by the hair on their chinny chin chin. The fact that they won down in Houston, that's a good thing. It was a fun game. It was a good win for the Warriors in Houston. And we're going to be talking about it with Steve Kerr at 4 o'clock. Were is you, it's me, and it's Matt Kolsky here on 95.7. Hello, Matthew. Good to see you. Good game out of the Warriors last night. You know, the ball was moving around. I'm not blaming that on Kevin Durant's absence or anything, but sometimes basketball teams flow a little bit better the fewer options that you have. Ridiculous kind of, this is totally apples to oranges. My wife and I are redoing the kitchen.
Mm.
So we went into the, you know, the big appliance store to look at kitchen sinks and faucets.
Sure, sure.
So kitchen sinks and faucets goes to infinity.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely goes to infinity. The woman who helped us pick out the right thing was great at limiting our options. The fewer options I have, the better choice we can make.
That's why I can't handle the cheesesteak factory. Easy for me to say.
Menu too big. I totally understand.
I ate a cheesesteak for lunch. Cheesecake factory menu is thousands of pages long. How can anyone decide?
Keep it simple. Sometimes fewer options is the better path to finding the easiest solution. And I'm not saying that this team is better without Kevin Durant. Let's stop all that right now. You don't need to send me a text message on the Chilton Auto Body text line that I'm inferring that they're better without him. I am not. But last night, it felt a little bit more Warriors-y in terms of ball movement, in terms of focus, in terms of overall team joie de vivre, shall I call it? The je ne sais quoi of the Golden State Warriors felt like it was back last night.
And I think that's not just a random reduction of options. There is something in particular about Kevin Durant, and it's not his fault necessarily, but both he as a player, I think, is more willing to, and maybe more importantly, the team is more willing to just take it, we'll head over to the other side of the floor, you go one-on-one this time. And there's really not a guy on the roster who will do that when Kevin's not on the floor, with the possible exception of Boogie. But when it's Boogie, he's in the post, so everyone can move around the outside, and he's a more than willing passer. So it doesn't look the same way.
He is more than a willing passer. Oh. He's phenomenal, man. I mean, for a big guy, let me tell you, DeMarcus Cousins, there's a word that Victor Oladipo has always used about him and his shot, and it's going back to Bloomington. By the way, speaking of going back to Bloomington, that's where the Hoosiers are going. They're not going to the NCAA tournament. But I digress. The man is feathery. He is feathery.
Yeah.
DeMarcus Cousins has ridiculous touch for a guy who's built like a Mack truck. And it was on full display last night. That's his best game in a Warriors uniform. It's the most important game I think he's played in a Warriors uniform. And he responded last night, 32 minutes. Me, or is he moving better now than when he was on the court originally with his team? And I thought he was moving pretty darn good right away. It feels like it got even a little bit better for last night. Maybe that's just the bounce in the step. I don't know.
I think it did look its best last night. And I think it's a combination of A, we're like 20 games in now. He's starting to get more comfortable. He's starting to get back in game shape. But B, 2 days off, man. I think when you're bouncing back from an injury and you're a big dude playing on a leg that hasn't dealt with that sort of pounding in a year, a couple days off probably does him a world of good. So I think we'll get another good Boogie on Saturday.
I hope you're right. I hope you're right. They're going to need him as they go to Oklahoma City, obviously. Steven Adams is waiting for you at the five. We're not going to see Andrew Bogut by the time the team gets to Oklahoma City. So another good game, and can they keep this rolling? Those are questions we'll be asking today and tomorrow for sure. What I also really liked about the Warriors last night that might have just dialed them in instantly, locked them in, if you will, if I may quote a Steph Curry tweet. You see who started last night? I'm just saying. I know you're, you know, you love McKinney, and I do too. I'm here to sell for McKinney. I really am. But when you need to go to someone other than Kevin Durant, go, I think, with someone with experience. Forgo your bench rotation to make sure that you are out there starting the game as frosty as possible. Andre Iguodala starts last night. He only plays 25 minutes, so he didn't have a minute overload. It's not more taxing on his body. By the way, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, only 3 points. He only took 4 shots. 0 turnovers. You know, like, he's just somebody who steadies the operation. And that's all they need. If Durant is out of there, you need someone who steadies that starting five a little bit. He was fantastic getting inserted into the starting five last night. And I think it went a long way to the Warriors winning that first quarter by 10 points. 33-23 at the end of one. And again, you needed every single bucket you could get because it was a 106-104 final. As great as the Warriors win feels on the surface and in the vacuum of just that game, Matt, let's be totally honest here. That is still, hands down, I think your number one threat. You want to make an argument for Oklahoma City? I'll listen. But I still think Houston is more prepared to meet the Warriors in the Western Conference Finals again, then I'm just going to assume that Oklahoma City is going to get there. I wouldn't be surprised. And even though it was a nice little win, James Harden last night goes 2-for-12 from downtown. He goes 3-for-12 from downtown. You're going to Oklahoma City with a loss today. You're a 107-106 loser with one more Harden three. So as good as this was, you can see that this is still very much a by-the-skin-of-their-teeth rivalry here.
Yeah, and I think we can have all the arguments we want about last year. Well, if Iguodala hadn't been hurt, it wouldn't have gone 7 games. And then Rockets fans can say if Chris Paul wasn't hurt, well, maybe then the Rockets win. And we don't know. But you're now, even with this win, 1-3 against this team this year. You did play 7 games in the playoffs with them last year, whether you like it or not, whether there are injury reasons for that or not. And yeah, I don't think you can possibly go into the playoffs not taking this team very seriously. I still think if I'm looking for the team who actually has a real chance to beat them, I would be more worried about Oklahoma City's best game than Houston's best game.
Today is Boogie Day. We're celebrating how good he was last night with a chance for you to walk away with a cool piece of memorabilia. In the 5 o'clock hour, we'll be looking for caller number 5 on our contest line. Caller number 5 is going to win a DeMarcus Cousins signed basketball, plus a pair of tickets to his 3rd annual Boogie Comedy Slam on April 11th at the Paramount Theater over in Oakland, which is absolutely gorgeous, starring Mike Epps, Tony Roberts, Red Grant, and more. Tickets available at Ticketmaster.com. Details and rules at 957thegame.com for the giveaway of the basketball that we're going to be doing a little bit later on today. So good to see that the Warriors' effort was in the right place last night. We will get into all the details of last night, and we're going to do that with a man who is certainly on top of the details. After all, that's his job. Steve Kerr joining Matt and I at 4 o'clock. John Morosi at 4:30. 5 before 5 is going to happen today, starring the one and only Bouton Vixon. We'll get to her in just a moment. Steve Kerr replay in case you miss it as we get into the 6 o'clock hour, when we're also going to be joined by Dieter Kurtenbaugh to talk about not just the Warriors, but the 49ers and what they've done as well. And we've got Jason Verrett signing with the 49ers today. Didn't play an awful lot over the last 3 years. Was a first-round draft pick who could never get it right. Hopefully all the time he's had off is going to go ahead and get him on the field for the Niners. They've re-signed Exum, by the way. Tevin Coleman is a name that we're out searching for, and I think that he might join us today or tomorrow, but we still haven't confirmed from him when he might join us. We've got some baseball to talk about, baseball tweaking its rule book a little bit today for the next season. And honestly, with one rule that I see that I really don't like, Bruce Bochy is picking the right year to retire, because Bruce Bochy's greatest managerial asset is being stripped from him by the new rule book of Major League Baseball with this ridiculous three-batter rule, which I don't like, and I hear Kolsky does. So we got plenty to talk about there this afternoon. An awful lot coming up for you on 95.7 The Game. But right now, you know who's coming up for you? She's out today. Gianna's got the day off. Hopefully she's feeling a little bit better soon, which means the one and only smoky voice to Bouton Vixen. Elena, what do you got?
Now back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
Little earlier than he normally joins me, Steve Kerr coming up today at 4 o'clock. We're really looking forward to that conversation. He's got to be feeling good after the Warriors get on the right side of the win-loss column against the Houston Rockets for the very first time all year. You can just see how even this is. I mean, I got somebody here on the text line. Didn't take long to figure this out. Says, Damon, last 8 games, counting the playoffs, the Warriors have won 4 Rockets. And the Warriors have won 4, the Rockets have won 4. Sounds like a pretty decent rivalry right now. It certainly is. You've got Harden going Superman at Oracle and in overtime, burying that dagger 3. You got the Warriors escaping without Durant last night by the skin of their teeth. And let's just see him keep it going. But this is Warriors-Rockets. That's about as good of a basketball game as the NBA can put on your television. I mean, it really is. It's a phenomenal game. And regardless of what you think about Capella, Harden, what you do or don't like about the Rockets, Chris Paul, blah, blah, blah. Like, you can not like them all you want, but you got to tip the cap. That's a damn good team. It really is.
Yeah, no question. And I think when we look back at this season, if you're looking back at the Rockets, you got to say not only it's a good team, they were the best team in the NBA during the regular season last year, but also that stretch, which I didn't love, of Harden dominating the ball and the scoreboard consistently for 30 games, he did what he had to do to save their season.
Absolutely.
Because it was headed off the rails. Chris Paul was out. Clint Capella was out. They were losing. They were under 500. And he yanked that entire franchise up and dragged it to respectability so that when Paul and Capella came back and they hit a run, they're right back in the top 4.
It's a reason to believe. James Harden gave his team a reason to believe when it looked like all the doubt was pointing at them. And he said, all right, I'm going to go Superman. I'm going to pick up the building and I'm going to carry it to safety. And it's impressive. Whether you liked it or not is irrelevant. He did it. It's impressive. And here we are. That's one of the best games you can find in the NBA.
No doubt.
So let's take it one step further, Matt. In any way, do you think Houston had a chance to actually own a little headspace, a little real estate in the Warriors' heads last night and blew it? Or do you think the Warriors needed that in any way? I have trouble selling that. I almost have trouble asking it because I don't think the Warriors' confidence ebbs and flows with the other team.
It's not their confidence. It's the Rockets' confidence.
Yeah.
I think the Rockets had a chance, especially with all the mess they talk, because they love talking, right? I believe there was a quote from Clint Capella or Austin Rivers saying something like, yeah, well, if Steph has to say it's a statement game for them to get on our level, it's like, bro, they're the back-to-back champs. Maybe chill out a little bit. And as much as they talk, you gotta believe when Clint Capella steps up to the microphone before the playoff series, he'd have a different perspective had they just finished beating the Warriors 4 straight times than if they had lost the last one despite Kevin Durant not playing. It's a different, even if it's not a huge change, I think we all believe self-confidence matters to athletes. And if it's a little less self-confidence for the Rockets, I think that's so much the better.
No doubt about it. Draymond Green last night asked why everyone played their best.
I think everybody was locked in. Our coaching staff was locked in. You know, I think there's always this notion of like players, you know. But the one thing we understand as a core unit is that everybody got to be locked in, and we all have our off days. Tonight we were all locked in. We knew we needed to come in here and get a win. We focused on the task at hand, and we did that. You know, obviously, we had some great individual performances. With Marks playing great. Clay was great. Steph was great. Our bench was fantastic. You know, everybody who came off the bench gave great minutes. You know, Andre was really good. So it was a complete team effort.
Yeah, in about 40 minutes from right now, since Draymond brought it up and said, you know, our coaching staff was locked in, I'm going to ask Steve Kerr exactly what that means. What, if anything, did he do differently last night? By the way, Draymond Green, 5 assists, 5 rebounds. He had a steal. He had a block. 4 turnovers in the game. He actually finished -4. He only scored 2 points on 1 of 5 shooting, 0 of 2 from downtown. But the little things, the weak side rotation, the help defensively, challenging at the rim. He was doing the little things that Draymond is so good at doing. So when it's not a gaudy box score, he's still probably right in the middle of the Warriors winning and playing very, very well. One last note before we start turning our attention to the NFL and the introduction of Kwon Alexander and Dee Ford down in Santa Clara today. Kevin Durant, for a guy who wasn't playing last night, I thought had a really nice off-the-court moment after the game. Curry was coming off the court feeling good. The cameras sort of caught them walking through the tunnel together, and they, like, grabbed on each other and pushed and pulled each other in a playful kind of way in a win. And, look, it was a genuine moment. It really was. It looked like these two guys were having a real good time together. And you could tell me, Damon, that does or doesn't matter. I don't know. Look, I want to see a little happiness, this is fun, from Kevin Durant. You talk about self-confidence going a long way. Enjoying what you're going through, I think, takes you a long way as you go through whatever it is the task is. And it's just good to see Dauber starting to point up. Dauber up, Dauber down, Dauber up. I'll take it.
I like the idea of just one positive, authentic moment.
Right. A high five is basically something for us to talk about.
The thing is, almost every moment from Kevin Durant over the last few months that we have felt to be authentic has been negative or dour in some way. He's upset at the media. I don't think anyone believes that's a put on. We believe that's the authentic Kevin Durant. It's just, it's not happy. So much of what we perceive to be his authentic real self is him being upset in some way. So to see him seeming to have an authentic moment where he's just a good teammate who didn't happen to play that night, which is what that interaction looked like to me, it's a reminder that we don't see the vast majority of the interaction between these guys. And frankly, it's probably mostly good.
Is it important to win the press conference? I mean, look at how we've reacted to so many of Kevin Durant's press conferences. It would be hypocritical of us to say that, no, it's not important to win the press conference, because chances are sports talk radio, media, we'll be talking as much about that interaction as anything that actually happened on the court. So the concept of winning press conferences now turns to Santa Clara. By the way, I will say the Raiders, I thought, did a really nice job with their press conference yesterday in introducing Antonio Brown, having his whole family there. Looked like a good old-fashioned Norman Rockwell painting. And, you know, the team needs a little feeling good about it. So good.
And Brown needed the look of, I'm just a normal dude.
Totally. No blonde mustache.
Yeah.
No sleepy caterpillar.
Just a guy.
Yeah, just a guy. I'm just a man.
Just a guy who happens to be really, really good at football.
Press conference down at Santa Clara today. John Lynch, Kyle Shanahan, they introduced Dee Ford and Kwon Alexander. Dee Ford obviously had the bonehead play of the AFC title game when he jumped off sides when Tom Brady threw an interception that nullified that interception. We all know how that game ended. Dee Ford, of course, was asked about it today. And I'm just talking about winning press conferences. This is exactly the answer that either somebody handed him and said, man, this is what you need to do, and if you say this, everyone's going to love it, or he knew himself to say this.
Look, it happens, man. Unlucky play. Would I take it back? Of course. Anybody would. It was devastating, but like I said, when I first did the interview, I gave myself 2 days to pout about it, and I'm over it.
Ding, 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 ding. Correct answer.
Can I nitpick one thing?
Go ahead.
It was not an unlucky play.
Okay, you could say that if he wants to categorize, you don't like him categorizing his mistake as unlucky, fine.
Because he's right. Stuff happens. I said 2 days ago when this trade was in the works and somebody was arguing against it, hey, man, stuff happens. Could have happened to anybody. And someone said, no, it couldn't. You got to be an idiot to, right? I think it could happen to anybody. You line up wrong once. It could have happened to anybody. It was not unlucky. You blew it.
He basically, though,
He cops to it.
He does.
He does.
He wears it. He said he wore it mentally for 48 hours, and then you got to lay your burden down.
Right.
I mean,
you like the approach.
Yes. That sounds like a guy who is wired correctly for a professional athlete. You have to have a short memory. You have to have an on-field short memory. Not to bring it back to Durant or negativity or anything like that. Kevin Durant, I wish he had a shorter memory. I wish his wiring allowed him to, you know, I'm going to lay my burden down. I'm not just going to carry this sour feeling with me going forward to define what my future looks like. So that's just the right attitude. I like to hear that answer from D. Ford. Quan Alexander also introduced down in Santa Clara. And, of course, the question was, hey, man, how's that ACL? When are you going to be back on the field?
I'm just taking it day by day. I've just been grinding, working hard, and just pushing myself to get back. You know, I'm just taking it day by day. Just let it all work out for itself, and then I'll be back soon.
Hopefully he is back soon. John Lynch.
There were a lot of good linebackers out there this year. Quan, I think I've long admired. You know, I believe certain players bring out the best in their teammates with the way they play. There's a certain passion for the game that screams even when you're watching film that's silent. You can just see it jump through, and he plays with his hair on fire. You know, I think that kind of play is contagious, and we needed that. He's also extremely productive, and I think I saw it, and Kyle saw it, and our staff saw it, and we just said it really just kept growing and growing to, hey, this is a guy we want here, and we sure are happy to have him.
So they jumped all over that and obviously landed the player that they targeted. Even though we didn't really talk about it, they obviously had this plan all along. Really good column today, Matt, from Chris Biederman in the Sack B, where he basically said focusing on the defense and not giving up future assets for Odell Beckham is probably the right move. And he writes, Shanahan has a clear need at receiver, and San Francisco was rumored to be interested in Beckham. But Beckham isn't coming to the Bay Area. He signed with Cleveland, obviously. The 49ers have the number 2 overall pick and could have offered maybe a little bit more with creativity, but they didn't. And roughly an hour later, Lynch and Shanahan pieced together another trade addressing another area of need. They acquired D. Ford from the Chiefs, who could solve their need for an explosive playmaker off the edge. You pair his speed with DeForest Buckner's ability to push the pocket from a defensive tackle, and that could be lethal quickly. Ford forced 7 fumbles last season, the most in the NFL. He was 7th with 13 sacks. You know, I was down so much on the Kansas City Chiefs defense that I guess those numbers eluded me. You know, and as an individual player who does things that the What does that defense need? It needs sacks and it needs turnovers. They got a guy who did both last year. Hard to argue with that.
I like virtually every deal they've made. I have questions about the deals they haven't made. But if we just look spot by spot, I think most people's big complaint about Quan Alexander was the money. When you look at what a guy like C.J. Mosley's getting, the money seems fine for Quan Alexander. A young guy, hopefully his best is still in front of him. Already does a lot for you. D. Ford is an elite pass rusher. This team needed an elite pass rusher. We can nitpick anybody, but you went out and got a guy who fits to a T the description of what I thought was their biggest area of need, which was rushing the quarterback. And then today, again, I wish they signed a healthy safety or corner, but there's no debate that Jason Verrett is a worthy gamble at $3.6 million for a guy who, if he does manage to stay healthy, could be a Pro Bowler.
If he clicks for $3.2
million, yeah, you're great.
You got the biggest bargain in the NFL out there. By the way, we got a couple of names, just a few ideas. You know, we're not quite done with free agency here yet. I know it feels like it's happened in many ways, but there are a couple of names out there. I've got 4 for you, actually. 4 names out there that I think are worthy of interest. Both sides of the bay. All 4 of these names could join either roster, and I think that roster improves. Now, because they're still available, we have flaws.
Right.
If you're waiting for perfect to come on by and you're willing to pass up very good until you get to perfect, you're standing on the wrong platform. You had to be on that platform on Monday. That's when Perfect was coming by.
And particularly if not only are you waiting for Perfect, but you're not willing to spend a little extra money for Perfect, you're going to be left empty-handed.
I want to start with the back of the defense, then we'll work our way to the defensive line.
Okay.
Bryce Callahan is a cornerback, 27 years old, played for the Bears last year. He's a slot corner. He's a guy who plays the middle of the field probably better than he does on the edges. He had a little trouble staying healthy, but when he's good, he's one of the league's best at playing in the slot, which is a position that has become so predominant in the NFL. It's now a starting position. I mean, it really is. Slot corner, slot receiver. You're seeing it everywhere. They're not going to be passing less anytime soon. So there's a name that works for both teams, especially 49ers.
Can I give you a quick stat on Bryce Callahan?
Go ahead, please.
Pro Football Focus has covering the slot, as you mentioned. He allowed 0.69 yards per coverage snap. So now they don't throw it at him every time, but that tells you, A, he's covering guys, and B, if they catch it, he tackles them. That's what you want.
That's exactly what I want.
There you go.
Do I want Clay Matthews?
You can sell me on Clay Matthews at the right price and maybe more importantly, the right number of years.
A one-year flyer. I mean,
I like that.
Clay has already played 11 NFL seasons. No, excuse me, 10. He's going to be going into season number 11. He's 32 years old. We all know what he used to be. He used to be a premier edge rusher, but as his career progressed, Packers moved him inside, and this guy is a great interior blitzer. I mean, I've been watching him come after Chicago Bear quarterbacks for the better part of a decade here, and I just think he's versatile. You could also say, hey, man, you know, we're just looking for outside linebackers. Clay, we're going to put you back on the outside. You don't move left to right like you used to. You're not as east to west fast as you used to be. That's cool. You're now playing north and south. That's it. Quarterback, get him. And just don't pick up all these.
Please.
All these.
Don't fall on them.
Unnecessary falling on top of the guys you're tackling on penalties. That was certainly the talk of the first couple weeks last year. Clay Matthews in a linebacking core, which exactly hasn't been shored up at the right price for 1 or 2 years. Huh?
I think that's good, especially if you look at him in the same way you looked at Richard Sherman. Here's a guy with 11 years of mostly pass rushing experience. Let's put him in the room with DeForest Buckner and Nick Bosa, and that'll help us both this year and hopefully moving on into the future.
I want to talk about a guy who can giveth and then taketh away with his attitude. He was, I think, in the best of the Rams. He was also maybe a reason why the Rams had a lull defensively in the regular season as well. But Ndamukong Suh is 32 years old, and he's out there. And he is not going to sign for the oh-my-God dollar figure, or else it would have already happened. No one's putting that out there. You'd be negotiating against yourself if you gave him an oh-my-God dollar figure. I think he can be sourpuss. I think he needs to be coached carefully. I think he needs to have a locker room chaperone almost, like he really does. This guy's attitude can go in the wrong direction. He's not as dominant as he used to be, but he's never recorded fewer than 4 sacks. He had 4.5 in each of the last 2 years, and when he is going, that's a player, man. I mean, and now overkill at D tackle. If you're really interested in a lot of snaps for Solomon Thomas, maybe you're right. But look, Ndamukong Suh, does he make your defense better or worse just by being here? I'm leaning towards better.
Here's my problem. In addition to the glut of interior linemen that they have, or I guess it's more accurate to say the glut of guys who are significantly better on the interior than the exterior, right? They got all these guys, Thomas and Armstead and even Buckner, who their greatest strength is working inside as opposed to rushing from the edge. That's why edge rusher is such a priority in the offseason. That, but maybe even more than that, the more I've thought about this, I just watched that guy take basically a whole regular season off. And
Not a whole. 3 or 4 weeks at the end when things started going bad.
How about this? Let me put it this way. You make a fair point that, well, if you want more Solomon Thomas snaps, then
have at it.
Right. The thing is, for a guy with the ceiling on any given play of Ndamukong Suh, there are way too many snaps where he more or less is Solomon Thomas.
That's not unfair. But on a day he's going.
Yeah.
On a day he's playing frosty. And by the way, do you think he might get a little frosty to see the Rams twice a year?
I think I do, yes.
So, for a guy who plays with a big chip on his shoulder and might stomp on your head when you're on the floor, you know, I just think, what if he is going on a day where your guard and your center are worried about just one dude? How ISO'd up is now DeForest Buckner
on just
one blocker, D Ford on one blocker? Now all of a sudden, Quan Alexander's got a little bit more room to run through an A or B gap to come right up the gut. I mean, I just, it's not necessarily him. It's what you could do around him. I'm signing a guy whose reputation might be better. Just the nameplate on his jersey is worth more than the nameplate Thomas to me, Solomon Thomas.
Well, I don't think there's any doubt about that. He's going to draw attention that Solomon Thomas certainly has not earned. Of all the names you've mentioned so far, he's the least appealing to me. How's that?
One more then. Ziggy Ansah, 29 years old. Again, big ceiling. Trouble with injuries, no doubt about it. But he has seasons of 14.5 sacks and 12 sacks underneath his belt. That's double digits for those of you who are scoring along. And he's missed time in each of the last 3 years. Again, if you're waiting for perfect, that's not coming by anymore. So you're going to have to find a player with a flaw that you can accept. If you're telling me you're definitely going to draft Nick Bosa, maybe you don't want a guy like Ziggy Ansah. But again, I got the Niners defense under beggars can't be choosers. There's no such thing as too much talent on a defense that had two interceptions last year that was incredibly, incredibly incompetent at taking the ball away from the offense. Ansah, Sue, Matthews, and the corner, Bryce Callahan. I know who's last on your wish list. Who's first?
Of those guys, I think it would actually... Can I go off book?
You want to hedge bets? Oh, no. Oh, you want to play the field? Yes, give me field.
Trey Boston. Safety, with what you've got, knowing that whether it's trading the second pick and picking in the top 10 for someone like Rashawn Gary or Montez Sweat, there's a ton of edge rush possibilities in the draft. There are a couple more edge rush, you know, whether it is one of the guys you mentioned, Ansah or Matthews, or I just blanked on the other guy I was going to say, but there's a couple more names out there. Oh, Justin Houston is still out there. Those options are sort of plentiful. Safeties I'm running out of, and if I was the Niners, I'd be desperate for quality and experience at that position specifically. So Trey Boston, I keep reading how underrated he is. He's still out there. I'd imagine that makes him significantly less expensive than the Landon Collinses and Earl Thomases and Tyrann Mathews of the world. Go get him.
Is there any scenario where maybe they come in this draft with another corner and they don't look at Richard Sherman as the guy who might eventually solve their safety needs?
That's possible. That's definitely possible. I don't know that Richard Sherman wants to do that.
Maybe not right now, and maybe not with the year that he had last year, which has to have him doubling down on his ability to maintain a position of cornerback. But if that's why they're willing to take another flyer on resigning Exum, which they did today, Antoine Exum, by the way, a one-year, $895 million cup of coffee.
It's basically free.
Exactly. If he comes into anything, if Jaquiski Tartt turns... They very much, I think, are hoping that with coaching and another year experience, their safety solution is already on the roster. Could be wishful thinking.
Yeah.
But that, I think, is what they're looking at. And I think long term, they see Sherman in that position. And maybe that's why they haven't gone out spending big bucks on the position. 888-957-9570. Open lines, especially with this news that I hate to share with you. I'm so sorry to tell you that Steve Kerr, the Golden State Warriors, have just told us that Steve needs to be moved to tomorrow. So we're going to be talking to Steve Kerr tomorrow here on 95.7 The Game, which opens up a chance for us to talk to you a little bit more. 888-957-9570 is the number. Give me a name. someone still out there that you're interested in that you think could show up today and make the 49ers a better team, 888-957-9570, you be John Lynch. What are you pulling? What lever, those four names, the wild card that was just thrown on there by Kolsky, what is a name out there that still intrigues you? I think the Niners need a couple suggestions. Just throwing it out. Hey. We're just trying to help. You're on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to the Damon Blue Show on 95.7 The Game.
Jokingly going to break, Matt, I said that the 49ers could listen to us for suggestions, but they didn't need me.
Apparently not.
You for this one, the 49ers have just signed free agent wide receiver Jordan Matthews. I do not have any particulars of the deal, but I can tell you that Jordan Matthews was with the Eagles last year. 6'3", which makes him the tallest Niner wide receiver right now currently on the roster. His 40-yard dash time, 4.46. Guy's a little bit of a burner. And I remember in February, he was the one Eagle receiver clapping back on fans who were calling into Philadelphia Sports Talk Radio and other columnists in Philadelphia saying, you know, it might be time to move on from Carson Wentz and put all your eggs in the Nick Foles basket. And he was one of the first to the microphone to just say, whoa, dog, whoa, 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 whoa. Don't do that.
So you're saying he's a better GM than Tom Coughlin?
Well, maybe. Maybe. Only time will tell. Hopefully, he's a better wide receiver than a number of guys were for the 49ers because he is now on this team.
Than Kendrick Bourne?
Yes, Jordan Matthews. But I'm not.
No offense to Kendrick,
exactly.
But they could use someone who has a better year than Kendrick Bourne.
Jordan Matthews, again, an initial reaction. What do you think?
Initial reaction is he's the shape of receiver I thought they'd go after. I think there's a lot of similarities with him and Tyrell Williams, who was a guy we talked about with the Niners who ended up signing with the Raiders. Like you said, 6'3", makes him the biggest Niner receiver. He can go downfield, and he's had three productive NFL seasons, 14, 15, 16 with the Eagles. Last two, less so. You hope you can get it back. He's only 26. So, yeah, assuming they didn't break the bank, which I can't imagine they did, it seems like a nice, again, like much of what they've done, a savvy, value-based signing.
Somebody on the text line keeps on saying that he might be Jerry Rice's cousin or something like that. Again, I went to his profootball.com page, not his Wikipedia page. I don't know who he's related to. I don't know that much about Jordan Matthews other than just looking at his stats right here. And again, the stats aren't blow-you-away stats. 2014, lots of targets. 2015, lots of targets. Last year in 14 games, he was only targeted 28 times. Remember, they were on Foles in 2017. He was in Buffalo. He was he only started 7 games. He was targeted 36 times, only 25 catches. But I believe that's the Nate Peterman era. So, I mean, what are you going to do there? Look, the numbers are not eye-popping. Most guys with eye-popping numbers don't change teams. You got to find the bargain. You got to polish the diamond that maybe someone else couldn't.
And for what it's worth, the Eagles did have Alshon Jeffrey, DeSean Jackson, Nelson Agholor all in front of him last year. So that's right. Wide receiver group. The reason he didn't do anything is because he didn't have a ton of opportunity.
Well, DeSean Jackson's there now.
Oh, sorry, DeSean Jackson's there now.
You're looking at an updated,
Depth chart. Alshon Jeffrey, and I was right about the other one.
888-957-9570. Niners, suggestions. What do you think? Jordan Matthews. I mean, again, no one's buying a ticket today because Jordan Matthews signed with the Niners, but he's a tall target for Jimmy Garoppolo. And this team needs to get better in the red zone, period. They were terrible in the red zone last year. Obviously, they were on a third string quarterback and a whole lot of good luck in other positions, but they got to improve radically in that one area alone, and taller receivers are usually a good way to go about getting better at that. Let's go to John in San Jose. John, you're on 95.7 The Game. Damon Bruce, Matt Kolsky, how you doing?
How you doing?
We're doing great. Thank you very much.
I want to see a NASCAR defensive line. I want to see them either get Sue or Houston. You get Sue, then you get Bosa. Now you're looking at a pretty, pretty athletic very getting at the quarterback, and that's what you have to do in the NFC West, especially if you want to chase the Rams. Throw bodies at those guys and make and put pressure on them.
By the way, I mean, yeah, just go get that quarterback. If you have extra dudes, more bodies who are capable of getting quarterbacks, that to me smells like more guys who can do it and more guys who can give the other guy a blow so you're not exhausted in the fourth quarter.
And somebody reminded me yesterday when we were talking about this same thing, those Aldon Smith numbers he put up in his first couple years were playing about 50% of the snaps. So a lot of times, the best way to get peak production out of especially speed rushers is to rotate them in and out.
That, and he was also playing behind Justin Smith, which went a long way to making him unencumbered,
yes,
shall we say. Dee Ford, by the way, asking about how he plans on getting after the pass rusher today said,
"And I tell him, my role is to go that way. Nothing else.
All gas, no brakes.
Right. Very simple, man. Very simple.
And that way it's towards the quarterback."
All giggles. Kyle Shanahan just slipping in there to let everyone know the direction he's talking about
and
is in the quarterback.
And he got to the quarterback more than anybody in football last year.
He did.
We can talk about sacks, and I think it was seventh in that. But if you're talking about QB pressures, he led the league. So you couldn't put pressure on the quarterback last year, and you got the guy who did it more than anybody else.
Sounds like a pretty good idea,
yeah,
way to go about it to me. And you couldn't turn the ball over, and you got the guy who led the NFL in forced fumbles. So two issues addressed with one signing. Feeling a little bit better about the Niners than I was yesterday. Again, not a lot of big names, but if you got some quality players here, maybe you got a little something. And, oh, we like to correct the show's mistakes in real time, so you hear anything on me, step on me. And the audience certainly never hesitates to correct a mistake I make.
Golden Tate, they had me.
I do believe I just reported that the 49ers have re-signed Antoine Exum to a one-year, $895 million contract. Pardon me. I meant
that would be excessive.
$895,000, clearly.
Well, and then right after you said $895 million, I believe I said that's basically free. So both of us on the wrong side of that one. And Golden Tate was the guy they had in front of Jordan Matthews alongside Alshon Jeffrey in Philly last year, at least for the second half of the season. But look, Matthews is not an answer. Matthews is not, oh, we didn't get Odell Beckham. Don't worry. We got Jordan Matthews. Everything's going to be fine. He is another option, a young guy and a bigger guy than you have. So that's why you have him.
I know you and I were talking a little bit about Jordy Nelson. That's not going to happen now.
This is a much better solution for my money than 34-year-old Jordy Nelson.
Andy is in Novato. Andy.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Doing well.
I am pretty...
You're pretty disconnected is what really happened there, Andy. It sounds like your phone cut out on us. Sorry about that. Give us a call back, and we'll get you back to the front of the line. 888-957-9570. Jacob in Modesto. Jacob.
Hey, how you guys doing, fellas? I was just listening to your show, and I was wondering, I heard about the Jordan Matthews. What about maybe like a Dez Bryant or Demaryius Thomas kind of compete?
Demaryius Thomas is coming off an Achilles, and Dez Bryant is out of football. I mean, there's a lot of not interested in him that I'm going to extend to the 49ers without really pressuring them while they haven't gone out and done this. But if you did need a red zone target.
They're big dudes.
You like big and tall. He was them. But, that feels like yesterday's idea, not a fresh one. Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, here's a text from a Philly fan that I think is relevant. Matthews is a good slot guy, not going to run himself open, but a big target and good hands. I'm bummed as a Philly fan because he was only going to cost us a couple million or so. So there you go. As long as you didn't pay too much for him, that's a nice potential depth add for a wide receiver group that needs help.
And let me tell you, slot guys are guys that Kyle Shanahan, if they can't run themselves open, he designs them open.
That's right.
So this could be a nice little ad for the Niners. This is Coach K in Fremont. Coach K.
Yo, how you doing?
Nothing has changed in the last three callers. All have asked us how we're doing. We're great. Thank you.
All right. So who do you think the X factor is for the 49ers?
Well, Jimmy Garoppolo being a Pro Bowl quarterback is the X factor of the entire season, clearly.
Yeah, obviously. Now,
Coach K, we thank you very much. By the way, you sounded a little bit too young to be a coach. Just throwing that out there. Nestor.
Never too young to start coaching.
Never too young to pick up that chalk.
Just get in the game.
Clipboard. Nestor, San Francisco. What's up, Nestor?
Hey, how's it going?
Oh, my God. We're horrible. Everything has gone downhill.
All right. I just want to touch up on the Niners. I hear a lot of fans talking, and I just don't get what they're coming from. They're mad at the Quan Alexander signing, and he's only guaranteed $14 million. They're mad at the D4 signing. We need a edge rusher. And then we got Jason Verrett, low risk, high reward. And the same thing with Jordan Matthews. I just don't understand where these guys are mad. The Giants traded Odell for a first and a second. If we had a better offer than that, it would have been our second overall pick, and there's no way we're doing that.
Well, look, you know, when you set the tone for big splashy moves and then you don't make one, I'm not surprised when people get their panties in a bunch. I'm really not. People had a reason to maybe question why the Niners were not being aggressive when they pledged aggressiveness at the end of last year. But, again, free agency is not a culmination of 48 hours of activity. Free agency is a culmination of weeks of activity, and then it really ends once you go through the draft, and then you can say, all right, who really is new on the team? And I think that the 49ers, instead of over-investing in a quarterback-wide receiver relationship where they really have invested in the quarterback to pull much of the load. You know, I mean, it's up to Jimmy to make this offense great. And they don't want to – I guess they don't want a $20 million quarterback and an $18 million wide receiver, because that's just not how you allocate your cap smartly, especially when you have so many defensive concerns. The only thing – let's be totally honest. Quan Alexander would probably have been a little sexier if, A, zero ACL concern.
Yep.
And B, you had seen him because he hadn't been lost on the hard to find on the NFL radar that is Tampa Bay.
That, and I think even if Trent Baalke never existed, right? Even if you didn't have the scarring of the Trent Baalke ACL era.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't think a guy who tore his ACL in October, you're that worried about him come August and September. Like, ACLs get taken care of on a 24-year-old guy, 9 months should be plenty of time. So I don't worry that much about the ACL, but I think that Trent Baalke scarring is hard to get rid of.
When you talk about scarring after a surgery, I think you're just still putting it on me in an unfair way. I haven't been here in years. None of this is my fault anymore.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.